like the way you talk. I like the things you wear. I want your number tattooed on my arm in ink, I swear. Cause when the morning comes, I know you won't be there. Every time I turn around, you disappear.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. I am your host, Teebs. Glad to have you along, folks. We are here at the Pony Corral. I am joined by my illustrious and certainly well-known co-host, if you listen to any of the Bison Hockey broadcasts, Jordy Zacharias. Jordy, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. We're just going to adjust Jordy's mic as she gets settled in here. There we go. Give me a shout out there, Jordy.
That's much better.
There we go. We can hear you now.
Yeah.
Again, here at the Pony Corral, we're live on location tonight at the Hockey Helps the Homeless Pro-Am Draft, where we have a number of pros who have come through the building already. And Jordy, you almost got welcomed in with one as you came in with Ethan Morrow, former Edmonton Oiler. What's it like sort of seeing some of these... some of these greats, I guess, just wandering around doing their own thing?
Yeah, there's like half that I definitely know who they are, and the other half I know the names, but they're a little bit older than me, so
that's okay.
I just hear it from my dad on who they actually are, but
that's
I know the
right.
names, so that's
okay.
Enough.
That's the important stuff. You know the names, the guys will be a little more recognizable once the draft gets going. That'll happen in a few hours' time. We are going to be live all night, basically broadcasting this on the second stream. If you're looking to follow up on this, we will be off the air at 6:30 on the regular 101.5 UMFM dial on your radio, but we will switch over to the internet stream where you can catch the entire draft live. So keep that in mind as we go through this. But we do have a show to do tonight, so let's get into some of the bigger topics that happened in hockey. Obviously, culture issues are going to be front and center because of everything that's gone on. I don't know. I mean, Jordy, I mean, you've played enough hockey. You probably know of or certainly have heard of enough stories of coaches that may have been not so great to play for. I'm not asking you to name names, but, have you had any terrible experiences that come to mind? We're not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but we were just like, I wish that would have been different.
Yeah. I've been pretty fortunate, I think, especially the female game, I think, is a little bit different than the male game. I guess most of the stuff I hear is just from my guy friends. A lot of it doesn't really take place maybe until later on in junior is where
sure.
I think you hear a lot more of it. The only things I faced was playing boys hockey as a female and being discriminated against because of that, being cut from teams because of that. But
hold on. Like, do people know, like you're that, like, I mean, obviously you're a pretty good goal scorer. I mean, you've only racked up, like 50 goals in your Canada West career. Like, it's not like you can't play at that level. Like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, if you can play, you should be able to play. And, I mean, when you say, you know, you've been discriminated against, that kind of... It kind of sucks to hear that because it's not like you don't have the skill.
Yeah, when I was younger, like, I played boys hockey until I was in high school.
Yeah.
So, and grew up with all those guys. And I was super fortunate with the group of guys in the age group that I was in because I was treated really, really well from all the guys that I played against. But sometimes, you don't always get coaches that see the same way. And it's unfortunate. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it probably just makes you, like, stronger and better person. So you learn from it. And makes you put a fire a little bit under your butt.
I was going to say, there must be some inspiration coming when you're told, you know, you're good enough, but in terms of the setup that's going on there. I know, again, we've been in contact, and we certainly had heard the stories. You know, Lethbridge at the U Sports level had a little bit of problem in terms of their coaching staff, and certainly that's been somewhat resolved, if not completely resolved at this point. It's hard to hear, I think, those stories for us, knowing how much effort you guys put in and how hard you guys work and how dedicated you are to the sport, being a student athlete. What's your reaction to hearing stuff like that at the U Sports level?
Yeah, I remember when it came out, hearing about it, and didn't really know how much, or they didn't really say a lot at first of what it was.
Yeah.
And then more recently, I follow on Twitter quite a bit when I saw Daniel Carcillo's. He's been getting a lot of messages from players that want to have their story heard. And he posted about one of the girls and her experience and just seeing kind of like what she went through is kind of shocking. Like, you wouldn't think that happens in our league I don't know why, but it's just not something that you, more so in this day and age, you wouldn't think, right, like, that with the medical staff that you have, that you wouldn't be forced to come back and play from it. Like, I had shoulder surgery, and I couldn't even move my arm after 5 weeks, let alone play hockey. So I can't imagine how that would feel physically and just mentally. Like you said, as a student athlete, you're putting in 30, 40 hours a week just on hockey, and then you got school. Some of us work on top of that, and then have the stress of, like, abuse from a coach or verbal or physical, whatever it may be. Like, I can't imagine having that extra stress on top of you when you're just trying to play and have fun. So
I mean, we always joke that, you know, John's got that steely glare all the time, and he looks super intense, and we're always, you know, scared to ask him questions. But I mean, you know, you sit down with John, and I mean, he's a super nice guy to talk to, and certainly listens. I mean, again, I'm not saying, you know, John's in any way, shape, or form, you know, associated with this stuff or whatever, but you kind of go, like, you know, for a female coach, especially in Lethbridge's case, for a woman to come in and coach.
Yeah, first, that's where it was really shocking,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, that's the part where I'm blown away that, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and maybe they think that they can get away with a bit more because they are a female. Like, it's not as common, so, like,
right,
I can,
yeah,
you know, guy or male coaches might be a little bit more on their toes about it, whereas you feel more comfortable because you are a female, you think that maybe you can get away with it. I'm not sure, but it shouldn't matter either way.
Some of the stuff that they've alleged, and again, I can't say it's happened. I can't say it hasn't happened. I mean, it's going to go work its way through the courts. There's still an outstanding lawsuit that they need to work through. But some of the stuff they allege, just, you know, the anguish that they went through with, you know, having their stories, you know, told to other people as well. Like, they're, like, the privacy issue that seemed to have been breached there is pretty huge. And I mean, again, I don't know what you, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not asking to get into the ins and outs of what you guys work through in terms of coach and player and stuff or whatever. But I mean, I would assume that, you know, you put your trust in the coach pretty much, you know, for injuries, for all that kind of stuff, for anything you're going through, when, you know, hey, like, I'm a little overwhelmed here, coach, like, can you help me out?
Yeah.
To hear that story sort of be told that, you know, coach went to other players and told other players about stuff, like,
they, we think we'd be confidential. And,
well, not only that, but I mean, how do you trust that coach ever again when the coach is telling you on the bench, you got to go and do this? Do you really trust that coach anymore? Like, that's the question I have all the time, is if the coach breaks that sort of honor, sort of that trust that you have between coach and player, how do you ever take them seriously again?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. To me, it's...
it's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully, knock on wood, we can find something. I know there's been players that come out. I know the NHL has come out today and said, you know, they're looking at instituting sort of a code of conduct now for everybody that's involved in the game, and I think that's long overdue, but some of the stuff just seems like it's... and again, maybe it's just me, but some of the stuff just seems, you know, golden rule-ish. Like, if you wouldn't want that happen to you, why would you do it to someone else?
Yeah, and what makes you think it's going to bring more out of them by kicking them on the bench or
something,
like
something
that,
along,
you know,
those lines. Like, I wouldn't want to be kicked in the back while I'm sitting there, but I mean, that's just me. But hopefully we'll see changes. Hopefully we'll see some good stuff come through. Obviously, some good news, you guys. I mean, we'll bring this up because we have to, only because you're you and we know what you do. But a couple of big wins to finish off the first half of the season. You guys are back in the playoff race. You guys are back, you know, competing for what looks like a chance at least six, if not higher.
Yep.
How did you feel after last weekend? How did it go? Because, I mean, from what we saw, two pretty convincing wins by a team that hadn't really controlled a lot of games and all of a sudden came out and basically controlled the weekend start to finish. So.
Yeah, it was a very different weekend for most, but for us, I think. But, I mean, it's a team that we had already played. So when you have a young team like us, now they kind of know what to expect because they've already played them. So I think one of the biggest differences was our confidence with the puck. We held on to it a little bit longer. We had a lot of zone time in their end, which we're not really used to a lot of the time. Like, we can break the puck out, but we just had trouble keeping it in their zone.
Yeah.
So a lot of good offensive creativity, goals being scored, which is huge for
us. That's big, yeah.
And just the amount of, like, good chances that we were getting, getting in that scoring area, house, as you call it, to get good chances. Obviously, she's a really good goalie, so the more shots you can get to wear her down, the better.
Yeah.
But just comfortability, confidence. We played the full 60 minutes, which is huge for us. We outplayed our opponent the whole game, which hasn't been seen as much this year. So just getting more comfortable, maybe some more chemistry with our lines and whatnot.
What's it like? Because, again, we thought this was odd, although we understand that John's done it before. He's used Erica up front. He's used other players up front. Taryn was a regular, rotation up front. Cameron Gillis, defender, now playing on your left wing, on your line. What's it like having Cameron on the line up there? Because she seemed to fit in pretty well.
Well, yeah, and she had told me she hasn't really played a lot of forward, but I would say otherwise, because I thought she was pretty comfortable and not afraid. You know, like, she would hold on to the puck. She's not afraid, doesn't think she has to throw it away to one of us just because she doesn't play forward. But lots of great questions came from her, and she wanted to learn, which is awesome.
Well, not only that, but just good instincts, like going to the net, like opening up, like hanging back.
She was a good middle lane drive or high trailer, whatever it was.
But you and Michaela had obviously have played a lot of forward. Michaela Fisher, who played on your right wing. But even there was a moment last weekend where you went to the net and Cameron was the late trailer and she actually faded into to open up the triangle on the 2-on-1 on the 3-on-1.
Yeah.
And we were like, how did she
instinct to do
instinctually,
that? Yeah.
How did she know how to, like, as a defender, you don't really think about that stuff, but as a forward, that's almost, you know, second nature, and she just did it, naturally. I think, and again, I'm not saying that we need to move Cameron out of the defensive spot, because she's a good defender
as well.
She's
fitting in well, yeah.
Exactly. She fits in well in terms of playing that extra role up there. So
she's very aggressive and great power forward, too. Drives the net hard. Great forechecker. So I could see it being a fit. I'm not complaining.
No, I was going to say, I'm not
it's
complaining
been great,
as well.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked like she fit in well up there. Nice to finally see, you know, one of the rookies throw the 800-pound gorilla off their back.
Yep.
Kate Gregoire finally, after hitting post, after hitting crossbar, after being robbed by goaltenders, you know, throughout the first half, finally getting a couple of goals last weekend. I don't want to say that, you know, there's pressure on the other rookies to score goals. Obviously, there's always pressure to score, but, I mean, there were times it looked like she was almost, like, she was coming back to the bench with a look on her face of, like, somebody stole her dog, and like, she looked like she was heartbroken at times in terms of how many chances she had and just couldn't find the back of the net. Is it good to finally sort of see her come back to the bench with the big, you know, big smile on her face now?
Yeah. She doesn't show a ton of emotion either way, so, but you got to look for the subtle ones, because, you know, but that's exactly it, right? She's had so many chances, so it's got to be frustrating, especially when you're coming from probably scoring a lot of goals in high school, which you're used to, and I'm sure a lot of the girls are, and then making that jump, and you can tell just confidence with the puck and in herself, the way she's carrying herself now that she's potted a couple, takes a little bit of pressure off her, I'm sure. And the line that she's been playing on, they've been playing so well, so it's nice for all of them to kind of get rewarded for it.
And they play together for so long at St. Mary's, her and Sarah and Katie. I mean, it's fantastic. We've now dubbed, and I don't want to say this, and I don't want to put the pressure on Kate any more than we already have, but we've now dubbed that 3-foot area off the left post.
Yeah, her backdoor spot.
The office. That's Kate Gregoire's office. And we were joking about it early on because that's where she got a lot of her chances from. But you can really see she plays that spot well. That power play goal that she scored on the weekend where Lauren Workington had the long shot to the far post that, you know, Alicia Anderson kicked out, right onto the stick of Kate. Like, it's all, like we said, the experience level for you guys, you don't have it at the beginning of the season, but now that everybody's sort of playing together and sort of getting you can see it coming together, which is super, super encouraging for me anyway, as a broadcaster, because you go, like, when are they going to take that next step? Is this that first step now in terms of that
how
next
much
step?
Further can we go? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we knew it was going to come. It's just an uphill climb. We've been patient with it. And I'm hoping that having that going into the break, as long as we continue throughout the break, that we can come back and kind of pick up where we left off.
We always seem to talk to you about it because you seem to have outstanding weekends against Lethbridge. How is it getting that breakaway goal in overtime? Like, that's a pretty, especially after getting robbed earlier
on,
too.
Well, it was my third breakaway just in that game, so I had to go and eventually try every move in the book. But, I like playing against them. I don't know if it's the competitivity between me and the goalie or what it is, but I was pretty excited to have that last week and no one was against Lethbridge. Maybe it's in my head a little bit, but I knew going in, okay, this is my weekend. Like, this is where, especially at home, I like to play against them because lots of ice to skate and push the puck through. So,
well, I mean, you just exploded off that. I mean,
you knew I needed to score.
You chipped that puck away from Maddie Porter and then, like, blew past her.
Yeah.
And we were kind of going, like, okay, here it comes. Like, it's got to happen
It's got to happen. I just didn't want to play any more overtime. I was done with it. My legs were done.
Well, because we were saying, if they can get to the 3-on-3 period, that might actually be the benefit for Manitoba because they got so much open ice and so much speed. And the way that Lethbridge sort of wasn't skating all weekend. We thought that might be the break. And I mean, it took two penalties to get to 3-on-3.
But, yeah, no kidding. We got there, yeah.
But at least it happened in terms of it sort of going on. So, I mean, good to see you guys, you know, back on track and getting everything going. Obviously, you know, some other teams picking up steam now. Alberta's back in it. Calgary rolling along in terms of getting stuff going. I mean, it's been a really...
It's unpredictable year.
Yeah. I mean, the standings seem to change week to week.
Yeah.
You know,
you go from first to sixth in 2 weekends.
In terms of what goes on. So, I mean, how are you finding it sort of, you know, in terms of a player, you know, sort of just going, all right, well, who are we hunting down this week?
Yeah. I think in previous years, you know, you go in, you're like, Kate, well, Alberta, BC, Sask, like they're 2-3-4 or 1-2-3. You go in with that, like, oh, kind of. But now it's like, well, Calgary's in first and... So any team you play, it shouldn't be a scary thought, hopefully, that because they're all beating each other. Everyone's beating everyone. So hopefully that helps with our mentality just going into every weekend. Like, it doesn't matter who it is anymore. Like, everyone's capable. So.
And, I mean, I got to ask because, I mean, I know it's exam time and you guys, you know, working through exams and got to study and all that kind of stuff. But do you need the break now? Like, is it good just to get this sort of, like... exhale and not have to worry about hockey for a couple
weeks?
That's
a bittersweet thing because we ended on such a high, but at the same time, everyone's a little bit burnt out. It's been 3 months straight, you know, of
and a lot
going
of
at it.
Games for you guys too.
Yeah, we have a tough schedule. So it's like, oh, we're doing so good, but at the same time, we kind of need the break. So we'll see how it does for us. But everyone's kind of burnt out, I think, a little bit. It's been a grind, so nice to get a bit of a break.
I got to ask you one last question because I think it's a tough question to answer. I know it was tougher last year for Erica. What's life like as the captain?
Well, it's a very different position to be in.
Sure.
Well, and, you know, last year as an A, playing on a team that had so many vets, like, it takes a bit of a load off this year. We have 3 new captains along with me, so I know everyone has leadership experience and whatnot, but it is different, and having 10 first-year players makes it even more, so I've had some chats with Maggie Med over the summer, because she was in the same position as me as a captain, and it was just her and one other fifth year with the 96 age group as their first year, so, I mean, it's been really fun. I kind of forget half the time that I have that on my jersey, like, because... Okay. Everyone on our team is capable of really great leadership skills and has shown it, so it makes it a little bit easier. It's a little bit of stress, I guess, but it's hard because you want to set that example and you want to be the best that you can every single day to try and lead by that example. And when haven't necessarily been scoring, that's kind of where I feel like I show my best. But I think it's as long as you just work hard and that'll follow for them. So.
Well, I mean, again, from a broadcasting perspective, it looked like the last weekend you guys set the tone early with the work ethic. You guys were in there battling hard. You guys got a couple of breaks, which I don't know if you got any breaks early in the season. I mean, I think the only break that we really said that you guys got was the goal that Katie scored off the skate past Jessica Vance against Sask.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it seemed like kind of...
5 games, no goal. That's when it was going to happen like that. But how has it not happened
before
then? Like...
But, I mean, we were afraid because, I mean, we were talking like you guys were on pace to break records in terms of lack of scoring. And then all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, it seems to have reversed itself, which is awesome. So nice to see you guys getting back into it. Nice to see you guys sort of back on track. I'm hoping there might be some late February hockey we can talk about at that point, because that'll be fun. But by all means, I mean, again, I don't know if we'll get to talk before you guys get back into it, but we're hoping that this is more of, there's lots more to come of this, because like I said, that was probably, from what we saw, the best weekend of hockey. I mean, we thought you guys played well against Regina, probably controlled most of those games, just didn't get the bounces. But, I mean, from top to bottom, getting the bounces, getting a couple of, you know, good goals, a couple of hard-working goals, that series against Lethbridge, I think, was...
That was probably our best 2 games. And just start to finish, too, right?
Yeah.
Just playing a complete game, so...
So, knock on wood, we can get to see that a little bit more.
Keep it rolling.
In the second half. don't know if you've been sort of following, you know, some of the professional stuff. I mean, we did a big segment last weekend on all the women playing pro from Canada West over in Sweden.
Right.
Have you given a thought? Have you kind of gone, you know what, let's just get through this year and then I'll worry about it? Like, what's the next step for
I'm you, a very Jordy? Futuristic person. I'm never just playing in the present. I'm always thinking ahead. So I've been toying with it. It's hard. I mean, I had shoulder surgery in the off season, so I'm still trying to get back into it, see how my body's feeling. But I'd love to keep playing. I don't know if I have much of a desire necessarily to be in Europe.
Yeah.
But just where women's hockey's at right now, it's kind of hard to say. But at the same time, I've also been doing a lot of coaching over the year too,
yeah,
that I really enjoy. So I'm kind of torn on what to do. But
let's be honest, there is not enough, and I will say this until the end of the day, there is not enough female coaching at any level for any amount of people.
Yeah.
I would love to see, and again, I'm not saying you have to, you know, forgo a playing career for coaching career, but yeah, if you love it, do it. I mean, what's to say you can't, right? And yeah. I mean, there are some good coaches out there. Don't get me wrong. Alana Sirhan's been talking.
Her and Charmy are moving up. Yeah.
They've been talking about a big game about how well they do. So I'm thinking, you know, if you want to get into it, yeah, do it. Have some fun with it.
Yeah, and there's always time. Like, it doesn't have to be right away.
Right.
I mean, I'm graduating this year, so I do have a gap here next year that I could go play. So it does seem fitting. But yeah, I've kind of put it on the back burner right now. I haven't really thought too much about it yet.
That's
entirely
fair.
It's still an option.
Absolutely. No, I mean, take nothing away. There's lots of time.
I don't know what I will do with myself if I don't. So it's been, 18 years of playing hockey. So it's kind of a scary thought.
But I mean, you
at some point, you got to do it. So.
Oh, but okay, and I mean, this is the thing, though. I mean, occasionally, you know, again, and I'm taking it another way, we hear enough about the Prairie Fire on the broadcast that there's a lot of senior women's hockey out there.
Yeah.
That there's, I mean, there's opportunities there, right? I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, doors don't really have to close. Just, they may just sort of, you know.
Your competitiveness might just,
Well, I mean, you can still be super competitive. I mean, we heard about Sharman lighting up the league.
He's
the leading goal scorer in senior women's hockey. And we're going, well, you're not even playing with all the other girls. And she's like, yeah, I know, it's kind of funny that way or whatever. And then you know, you kind of don't lose the competitiveness.
That's true.
You're just in a different environment.
I don't have to work out every day. It's perfect.
Exactly. You don't have to. Yeah. You don't have to be in the gym every day in terms of worrying
and
about that stuff.
All the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So just go and play
great,
and have fun.
Yeah.
So I mean, like I said, whatever you decide next year, I wanted to, you know, just ask in terms of see what's on the schedule or anything. Because I mean, who knows? Maybe work takes over. Maybe, you know, you find a great job and somewhere else is.
New passion.
Or the ice is calling from a different city. Who knows what's going on. So there's lots of opportunities that way, which is always good to see. Whatever you decide, I mean, hopefully it's knock on wood. Hopefully it's what you want to do, because that's awesome. So, again, looking at some of the other stuff that's going on, I mean, lots of people looking around right now. I know you're back to everything. You can turn around and take a look if you want. Lots of people that I see and recognize. The one guy who stands out above everybody else, though, John Scott, as he's
just towering.
As he moves further away from us, so you can't really miss him, as he's 6'8" and certainly looks it in terms of this crowd. But I mean, it's nice to sort of see this sort of group out here right now. There's lots of people out, lots of good stuff coming out. I know we haven't really talked about it. You guys are doing the hampers again for your group. I don't know if you're in charge or how much you're involved in it, but it seems like there was a lot of good response there in terms of donations made on the last week in a play there.
Our UMAC council takes care of it, so we got Brielle, Lauren Workington, and Maddie Cole that have been on it. We have two hampers going for this year, two families. I think we did get some donations. I don't know if it was as advertised as much this year as last year or what the plan was on that, but we're chugging away on it right now. We got till 15th to 20th to kind of get it done, so we kind of talked about a bit today. I mean, even if we have to put in $20 of our money, it's not the end of the world. It's the least we can do, right?
Yeah.
So, it's exciting. We like doing it. It's fun to go shopping and pick out some toys and stuff for the kids.
I mean, it's such a good thing to see. I mean, especially because you guys not you specifically, but somebody from your team will do the delivery as well. I think it's kind of cool to see, you know, you guys getting out into the community. I mean, again, you guys do a lot of community stuff as well, but it's nice to see you guys sort of get out and all the athletes getting out and sort of, you know, making that delivery and meeting some of the people that, you know, your hamper is going to help, which is awesome.
Yeah,
so.
I've been able to deliver, I think, every year that I've done it.
Oh, right on.
It's fun to meet the people and see how happy they are. And you know, we get a different type of family every year, so it's super cool. New Canadians or people who are born in Winnipeg, it doesn't really matter. But, it's a fun experience.
One of the things that we really enjoyed, and I mean, it wasn't really on broadcast because we didn't really broadcast it at all. It seemed like you guys had a ton of fun a couple weeks ago when you had the post-game skate with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
We have sort of said that it looked like that was probably the most fun time you guys have had all season. Just non-hockey related, goofing around, having some good times. Again, we don't get to see practice, but... How much fun was that? It looked like it was a great time for everybody involved.
Yeah, we haven't done it before, so it was a first-time experience for us. we used to do it at my old school at UConn, so it is popular to do. I guess they just haven't thought of it until now, but it's super fun. And like,
yeah,
it only took us an hour after our game to just hang out with the girls, and they were loving it and wanted all the autographs.
Yeah.
it was very fun. Didn't know, we were just kind of winging it, but we just played some games and chatted with them a little bit. And it was awesome.
It looked like it was a fun time because, yeah, I mean, everybody seemed to have a big smile on their face, which is great. I don't know who's in charge of that. I mean, I'm sure somebody in Bison Sports is responsible for that.
Yeah.
I mean, is that something you'd do more of? Do you want to do more of that? Like, I would love
to
see
more
of
that. I can't see why not. Like, whenever we have a home game Saturday afternoon,
yeah,
we're done by 2 or 3, just hang out for an hour and
why not
have a couple teams come out. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was, it looked like it was a great time because, I mean, we started sort of, you know, taking down all the equipment and sort of talking about, we were just looking around going, like, everybody's having a blast out there. So
it was fun.
And then, I mean, Sheridan got some free cookies off of us, so, I mean, that was always good. So.
Food's always helped.
Yeah, I mean, that's always nice to have that thrown down to them.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But, I mean, no, I mean, it looked like it was fun. I think it was one of those things that sort of needs to happen a little bit more. Looking at sort of the bigger picture of women's hockey, obviously there's some issues one way or the other in terms of finding a pro league for everybody to play in. What are your thoughts on where the game is going? What would you like to see? Where would you like to see the game go, maybe, in terms of having a professional opportunity in the future?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, mostly it's just a battle between two leagues or one former league.
Yeah.
And whether or not they want, some people are against NHL coming involved, think that we should be able to do it on our own, and a lot of people are very for it and think that it'd be a great help.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the NWHL. I followed it a little bit over the summer, just seeing some of the people that they have been signing. And although they've said that they were increasing their salaries this year, they weren't necessarily increasing the quality, I don't think, because so many players went on the GAP tour. So
yeah,
it's hard to say that you're going to have more money to spend on your players when the quality of play isn't as high as it has been or could be, right?
Right.
People
yeah
aren't going to come
yeah
watch if it's not the best players. So I can't imagine it's a very sustainable league. But at the same time, there isn't really another option. So it's awesome to see the other girls knowing that they could, especially American players, it's American League,
yeah,
that they could play in it and they choose not to try and make a change. So I like think the GAP Tour is super awesome. They've had really good success so far from what I've seen, just with the crowds that they've had and going to different cities. And maybe it's a good way to see what kind of cities have a good market for it.
See, but my complaint is, and don't get me wrong, I understand the financial reasons behind it.
Yeah.
My complaint is they can do games on the West Coast. They can do games in Toronto and Montreal, but they don't do games anywhere else.
Yeah, like, I know. We're saying, what if it's a central area?
Yeah.
You know, you could bring
like
in from everyone.
Like, they went to Chicago, and that's as far as they've gotten towards sort of the Midwest
yeah
of where we are. And I just kind of go, like, we got a huge community here in Winnipeg. We've
yeah
always supported women's hockey. Like, even when the World Championships and stuff come here, it's always sold out. Like,
the thing is, I think it has to come from the people in the city.
Right.
I don't think the PWA
yeah
or is picking the city. It's
yeah
just where they're finding the interest. So maybe that's something that it's up to us or whoever.
But
maybe.
Even when we're talking about exhibition games or, like, you know, when the league was around, like, I was
yeah
always like, this city would sell out in a heartbeat
yeah
if you brought, you know, the
Calgary
teams here,
or whatever, yeah,
yeah, like,
yeah,
there's
I think,
local
yeah
local interest all over the place in terms of both players on the team and on, you know, I don't know. To me, I always thought that that this city, and I know there were talks, and I've talked to enough people. There were talks to bring a team to possibly get a team going here.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, I look at this at the city now, and Winnipeg Ice.
We have so many teams. Yeah,
right. It's heavily saturated now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the next step is, and only because I think that there's enough of a again, you guys are here in terms
I'm
of Bison's
take
moving
away
on
all of our
but you guys
no,
are here
kidding
though, and I
yeah
and I just go, like, there's a waiting, you know, graduation going into that next program that we'd have enough players here for sure, and certainly some of the players that came from here, the Kohanchuks, the Sammy Joe Smalls, like, there would be enough people here. You could probably get a team going and have them fairly competitive.
Yeah,
we just never seem to get that opportunity.
Yeah, we have a lot of local girls that play that can,
yeah
can fill a team pretty
at
quickly
a high level.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's the thing. Like, you think about, you know, the Brenly Anderson, you know, the again Maggie, you know, Maggie Litchfield Met. I mean, there are a lot of girls that have already graduated that probably go, you know what, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah,
I'll give it a shot in terms of going back to play. So,
yeah,
I don't
sure
know. To me, I just think that this city is heavily overlooked.
Yeah, for sure. I think if they do get a league, it'll probably start over in the East Coast, just
Absolutely,
it's the population and demographic is just is a lot. But hopefully they'd be able to expand more and more west. But yeah, hopefully it's in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
but
we'll see. I guess it's one of those things, you know, you can always dream in terms of getting stuff going, in terms of having that that setup. We're going to take a quick break here on the show. Going to get reset, maybe grab something to drink because it's starting to get heated up.
In terms of
body's flowing in and out of here. So we're going to take a quick break, though, folks. We'll be back in a few minutes here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. We are live at the Pony Corral right now for the very exclusive, very VIP event for Hockey Ops Almost as the Pro-Am Draft goes tonight here. We'll cover more of that coming up. I'll have more information on that as we get a little closer. But we're here. Jordy Zacharias sitting across from me right now in terms of the co-host tonight. Glad to have you along. We'll be back in a couple of seconds here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Like, why you got to put everything on the internet while you're doing it or after you're done doing it?
Well, if you don't put it on the internet, how's going to people know what you did?
Do I know what? That's your problem right there. You should be playing your cards close to your chest.
This is 101.5 UMFM.
That's what I appreciate about you.
Is that what you appreciate about me?
Let's take about 5 to 10% off over there squarely down.
Yeah, no.
Be active and live better with Recreation Services this winter. Our 2019 winter program registration is now open with over 50 classes available in 7 different categories, including aging actively, aquatics, climbing, dance, martial arts, mind body, and recreation. For more information and to register, visit uofmactiveliving.ca.
Art can very often be a solitary pursuit, but at spaces including the Graffiti Gallery, there's a collaborative and celebratory thrust to creation. It's fitting then that the venue will host the collage party created by Paul Butler as invitation to the community to create, chat, and collage together. On Friday, December 6th at 7 p.m., the Graffiti Gallery will host the first of 3 such parties alongside the Touring Collage Pavilion exhibit, which runs November 28th to February 14th, 2020. Admission is free with the donation of a non-perishable food item. For more information, visit graffitigallery.ca.
Degrees Restaurant on Campus is a true supporter of community radio. Their organic, fair trade green bean coffee fuels UMFM. And they're the top pick among UMFM DJs for food before a show. Degrees provides quality food and excellent service at a reasonable price. Check out their environmentally and socially conscious menu for both healthy bites and diner faves. Degrees Restaurant on the third floor of University Center. Summer hours are Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
We're losing!
Teamwork, guys. More teamwork.
They're burying us alive!
Eddie Shore?
Oh, piss on Eddie Shore!
Old-time hockey?
Piss on old-time hockey! You're blowing it!
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
We are back here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Glad to have you along, everybody. Glad to have you with us for the entire evening, if you're planning on listening the entire evening. With me is Jordy Zacharias, captain of the Bison Women's Hockey Team, here to enjoy the evening as well as we get settled in here. Just looking around the room, again, lots of people here. Again, most of the pros are here. I can see Ethan Morrow and George LaRocque sitting together, a couple of former teammates with the Oilers in terms of them sitting together. Wayne Babich over just to my left. Lots of other players. I'm just trying to see. I don't see John Scott anywhere, and I should be able to see him because he stands heads and shoulders above everybody else right now, but don't see John Scott over there. Anybody else you spot, Jordy?
I see Dancing Gabe.
Dancing Gabe is in there. True. We do have Dancing Gabe here. He's one of the VIPs. He will be with us tomorrow at the Hockey Helps the Homeless tournament. Again, if you don't know a little bit about Hockey Helps the Homeless, I'll go into a little bit right now. It basically started back in Montreal. A number of guys got together had a little bit of money that they could spend in terms of getting together and raising a little bit of cash, talking to their friends, and they started putting together this idea of getting some money together to help the homeless people in Montreal. One of the guys that actually turned out and was playing in their sort of league and wanted to come and play alongside them was none other than Mike Gartner. Mike Gartner, former NHLer, played with Toronto, played with Washington, played with Minnesota, played with Arizona, all over the place. Mike Gartner was one of the guys who came in and said, you know what? We could probably make this a big event if you want. I can bring some of my friends down, some of my NHL friends down. We can raise some money that way and play, sort of a a game against them and get things going. And sure enough, it grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And as word got out, word got back to Toronto, back to other cities. Basically, these games started growing and growing and growing, and Hockey Helps Homeless became an entity, became a registered Canadian charity, and now they raise money across the country. Since their inception, they have raised over $16 million for homelessness across Canada. All the money raised in cities goes back to local charities in the city. In Winnipeg, for example, with the first ever tournament we're playing here, money will go back to Red Road Lodge, RAY, which is Resource Assistance for Youth, and Willow Place. So it covers sort of the most vulnerable people in terms of Indigenous folk, in terms of women and children, in terms of just youth that may be homeless as well. And those three charities will benefit from the money raised here. Again, all money will stay in Winnipeg. It won't be used for, you know, charities in Toronto or charities in Vancouver or anywhere else. So nice to see sort of that sort of whole idea, you know, money raised locally, staying locally in terms of giving money back to three great charities. So lots of money raised. Rumor had it, I know, Jordy, you were looking at the info yesterday. Lots of money raised so far, but it sounds like the $100,000 goal may be eclipsed, which is always nice to hear as well, that Winnipeg's coming through and raising a ton of money for homelessness. So hopefully, knock on wood, we can defeat homelessness this year. Not entirely. I'm sure there'll be more initiatives going forward. But
make an impact.
But yeah, making a big impact in year one, and maybe, again, next year, expanding the tournament, making the tournament a little bit bigger, maybe getting a women's side involved.
Yep.
I know we were talking about that prior to the show in terms of getting women's side involved. But Hockey Helps Homeless down here tonight at the Pony Corral for the VIP and the sponsor event. Basically, big thanks to the sponsors and the people that have made this event what it is today. One of those sponsors, want to do mention, Canada Life is the founding sponsor. They put up a lot of money every year for Hockey Helps the Homeless to be able to go out and do their thing in terms of getting these tournaments off the ground. So big, big thanks to Canada Life. They are centralized. Their head office is here in Winnipeg, just down the street, formerly known as Great West Life. Canada Life now bringing the tournament to their home, which is Winnipeg, which is nice to see. So big, big event. Happy to have everybody along listening tonight in terms of getting this going. And I mean, again, it looks like a great party out there. Jordy, I don't know if you're...
Yeah, I can't see everything, but it sounds loud.
I mean, you're welcome to turn the chair if you want, Jordy. I'm not going to tell you have to sit and look at me all night. That's a scary enough situation as it is. But no, I mean, it's great. I mean, I've seen a bunch of people. We had one of the reps from Canada Life had come up here and declined talking on the radio because she does all the work for them anyway when it comes to publicity. But we'll get them involved. I'm trying to see if I can find Ryan. If I can find Ryan, who's the executive director, I want to wave him over and get him going because we want to talk to him about why it's so important. See if I can find somebody who can wave him over. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up. But, I mean, yeah, it looks like a great party out here tonight. Looks like everybody's having a great time. Pretty exclusive party as well. Again, all the NHLers are here. As we said just before the break, you can see, you know, Ethan Morrow and George LaRocque were wandering around. Wayne Babich is just over to the left here. 12 pros coming out tonight, plus an additional pro who has volunteered to be a coach in Reggie Leach. NHL legend Reggie Leach has volunteered to be a coach tomorrow. He'll go around and just, you know, plop down with whatever team and help them out, get them going, but in terms of having some fun with that. But again, guys, like, again, I'll run down the quick list that we have here. Dave Babich, Wayne Babich, both Babich brothers coming back to Winnipeg to help out there. We have Trevor Kidd, who's in town, obviously doing a little bit of work with the three-letter station and TSN, coming back to help out with that. Russ Romanek is here as well. Russ Romanek going to volunteer his time to help out tomorrow. And then we get into some of the bigger names. Lori Boschman is going to be here. Mark Stewart. Nikolai Antropov is reportedly supposed to be here tonight.
I haven't seen him yet.
I was going to say, I haven't seen him yet, but he's supposed to be here tonight. So Nick Antropov, another great pro from the Jet Stays coming in. Among some of the bigger names, again, George LaRocque, Ethan Morrow, John Scott, who is locked on and is certainly one of the bigger players that's out there as well. I can't remember who I'm missing.
Thomas Steen.
Oh, Thomas Steen, right. How did I forget Thomas? I haven't seen him yet, though, tonight,
no,
so I don't know
either.
Where he is, but Thomas Steen is going to be here as well, and there should be one more. Who's the last one I'm missing off your list there?
Morris Lukowicz.
Oh, Morris Lukowicz, of course, yeah. Morris is the elder statesman of the group as well, as he's late 60s in terms of coming out playing, but glad to have Morris Lukowicz along. And it looks like the boys are up at the stage right now. Ryan's up on stage right now with Andrew Hustler Patterson. Used to be a DJ on UMFM.
Oh, yeah, now he's with TSN. Patterson
used to he cut his chops here with UMFM. Uh-huh. So nice to have him back and on the setup up there. But looks like they're getting ready to do some announcing up there. So if they do go live to the mic, which it looks like it's being handed up to Ryan right now, we will cut in on that feed so that we can talk to those guys, or listen to those guys talk about what they're doing. They're having a discussion up there about something right now. So, but yeah, looks like the party is just about set to get underway here. It's 10 after 6. So everybody having a good time. Again, draft will happen around 7:30-ish, folks. So if you're tuning in, you have to go to the second stream on the UMFM.com website. UMFM.com, go to the listen here portion. There are alternate options to listen, and that's where the second stream will be held. So you can find the information on there. Tune in, listen to the draft, find out who will be drafted first overall for the first ever Pro-Am draft here for the Hockey Alps Homeless Tournament in Manitoba, which is always nice to see. So I don't know. You have the list of, I mean, we made up the cheat sheet. You have the list in front of you.
Yeah.
If you were drafting first, Jordy, who would be your first pick?
Well, I know we had mentioned that John Scott's probably likely. He's probably the biggest name as of recent, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
What he's been. So I think he'll be
2016 MVP of the All-Star Game. I'm pretty sure he'd be a big
draw.
He's
a pick, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder who else would be.
I think it would be great. And again, I'm not saying he's going to go first overall. I think George LaRocque would be. He's played in these tournaments before. He knows what's going on. I think he'd be a good pick. Dave Babich has played in a number of these tournaments as well out in Vancouver. I think he's got a good idea as to what has to happen in terms of you know, quote unquote, scoring goals, winning games. That whole thing. The one guy I'm a little, and again, I'm not saying he can't play. I'm not saying he's not good. The one guy that I heard of, though, that's a bit of the dark horse, bit of an underdog in terms of going first, might be Trevor Kidd. Apparently, he's got a crazy set of hands on him that he comes out and plays senior men's hockey and just dangles like there's no tomorrow. So
he may want that skill. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can see Trevor Kidd go first overall. But I think no matter who you get, no matter who's up there, who you draft first, I mean, you're going to get obviously an awesome pro to play with. And I mean, it's going to be a good time regardless of what happens, because everybody's going to look to that pro on the bench, on the ice to you know,
give
set up goals,
tips,
score goals. Yeah, exactly. So it'll be fun that way to see some of that stuff going on. But we are awaiting to see what's happening. They're having a discussion up on stage right now. But the hot stove that's going to happen, so the hot stove that comes up, it's going to come up between 6:30 and 7:30. The hot stove is basically two or three of the guys just going up there and telling stories about their playing days. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah, we might be able to tune into that and get that going for sure and have some fun with that. But I think that'll be crazy if they get a couple of good guys up there like to chat. I know Wayne Babich loves to tell stories of his playing days. And certainly, you know, the guys like John Scott, the guys like George LaRocque will probably have some stories as well. But
we recently started listening to Spit and Chitlets, the
Spit
podcast.
And Chitlets. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I listened to the recent one with Chris Chelios, and hearing his stories are pretty crazy. Yeah,
I think Chelios would be a great guy to get here, but I mean, I don't know if he'll ever come play. But
that'd
be fun to have a guy like
they
him.
They were pretty
come
happy to have him on there, and he had some really good stories to tell. So
John Scott told. I know that Scott. I don't know if he did it. I don't know if he's got his own podcast now.
I think I heard that.
But he told a story. I'll see if I can find it. I'll see if I can, while they're doing the whole thing, while getting everything set up, see if I can find it. He told the story of. Do you remember? I don't know if you remember the moment when he did it, but where he turned to fight Phil Kessel, and Phil Kessel like
didn't
slashed him like a dozen times to try and get away from him.
Yeah.
He told the story of what went down there, and apparently Phil Kessel had no idea that it was even going to happen. Like, basically, he skated up beside John Scott and was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And Scott was like, "I'm going to punch your lights out next, so be ready." And Phil was like, "What are you talking about?" And they dropped the puck, and he turned to grab Phil, and Phil just started hammering him with the stick because he didn't want any part of it. And the whole thing happened because apparently Randy Carlyle chirped John Scott from the bench when he was coaching as the Toronto Maple Leafs head coach, chirped John Scott from the bench, and John Scott just turned and said, "Whoever lines up next to me the next time I'm out is getting it." And sure enough, Carlyle put Kessel on the ice, and Kessel had no idea what was going to happen.
He didn't do anything.
So, I mean, those are the kind of stories you're going to get in this hot stove. I think that's the kind of fun stuff that you'll hear all weekend if you're a player, obviously, as well. You'll hear all these great stories from these guys, but, I mean, again, there's going to be a chance when they sit down here tonight. Hopefully, we'll get a few players come by during the draft, and we'll get a chance to talk to them a little bit about their careers and certainly a little bit about why they think it's important to be involved in this kind of stuff. So I think it's great, though. I think it's fantastic. I was going onto the Hockey Helps the Homeless website here to see if we could preempt all the big news, but I believe we've broken through the record or broken through the goal that we had set. If I'm looking at the goal right now, they've moved it now. Okay.
Yeah.
So they went from 100,000. It's now up to 160,000 because we're already at $145,505.
Wow.
Which is monstrous. Congratulations to everybody who has donated, all the players who have raised some money. As it stands right now, I know they haven't cut it off yet. As it stands right now, the team that will be drafting first, they have legitimately a $400 lead over Sigfusson Northern, is Canada Life, the founding sponsor. So we'll see about that. The Freedom 55 team, who was chirping hard at the kickoff event last week at the Canada Life building, they're down in sixth right now.
Oh.
So
gotta eat their words.
Scotty, when Scott goes up to make that pick, I'm pretty sure there's gonna be a lot of guys chirping him.
Yeah.
But again, looking at the totals right now, no team has raised less than dollars, which is great. The Shawinigan team, I understand, limited in terms of the number of people they can talk to. But Allaire Homes, sort of near the bottom as well, has raised $9,000. Everybody else, the other 10 teams ahead of them have raised $10,000 or more each, which is fantastic to see, because I mean, right there you get 10 teams of 10 grand, that's $100,000 right there. So fantastic work by these teams to raise some money. And special shout out goes out to a gentleman by the name of Charles Hanair. I don't know who he is, I don't know what he does, but Charles has raised $4,200 by himself.
Wow. So one person, yeah,
that's a pretty big raise right there. Scott McDonald, who was the guy who was chirping again from the Freedom 55, is in fourth place individually. He has $2,400 to his name, but he's a little bit behind Charles right now at $4,200. So congratulations to everybody on that list who has raised that money. That's fantastic. Again, all money raised here will stay locally. They will stay the money will stay in the province, going to three important charities in Willow Place, Red Road Lodge, and Ray, which is Resource Assistance for Youth. Three important charities that help women and children, help youth in terms of the age of people up to the age of 29, and help Indigenous folk get off the streets and into safe places where obviously they can try and get their lives back in line and certainly back onto a good road, as opposed to the life of homelessness that they may lead. So nice to see that in terms of getting everything going that way. And again, great to see the pros coming out tonight and having a good time and certainly getting in there and talking. Again, we saw Lori Boschman here already. He's been here. John Scott, George LaRocque, Dave Babbage, all of those guys who have played in previous tournaments are already here tonight at the Pro-Am. So hopefully we get to see everybody else as well. Again, Thomas Steen, we haven't seen yet, so we'll see if he gets out here. He's probably wandering around somewhere.
Yeah.
Just haven't come to this side of the room yet.
Yeah.
Wading through the crowd here, but Mark Stewart right behind me. You can laugh at Mark Stewart if you want, sitting right to my right. Having a good chat. Nice to see him out. Mark Stewart, a local Winnipegger now, too, after he got married, too.
He's staying here, yeah.
Yeah, so nice to see that in terms of him him coming out and helping out now with everything else as well. Born in Rochester, Minnesota, if you're aware. Has two brothers that played a little hockey as well, but has made his permanent home now here in Winnipeg. Nice to see that. So, and then again, we got other guys that made their homes here. Wayne Babbage is here year-round. Dave, his brother, living in Vancouver now, has done a lot of stuff out in Vancouver for helping out charities out there. But it's good to see this crowd out here, and certainly the guys raising a little bit of money. If you haven't heard, there's going to be a silent auction available tonight. Silent auction will be carried tomorrow at the rink as well, as we play at Seven Oaks Arena, Seven Oaks Sportsplex. Get down there if you want to see incredible gifts, incredible merchandise that you can win through that silent auction. There's Solani jerseys. There's all sorts of crazy stuff there. There's an autographed Kyle Connor jersey. There's a whole bunch of great stuff there. If you want to come down and drop a few bids on stuff that you may be interested in, some good Christmas stuff if you're looking for holiday ideas, come down to the Sportsplex tomorrow, Seven Oaks Sportsplex, between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. And you can see all the stuff we have lined up there as well. I believe the auction will close at 4 p.m. as well. So maybe don't come down at 5 p.m. Come down at 4 p.m. To get all that stuff done. So I got about 10 minutes to go here, Jordy. Anything you want to talk about on the show tonight? Any hockey thing that you want to come up with?
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game tonight for the Jets, I think. But
I do have to agree. Jets in Dallas tonight as they play the second half of the back-to-back. They have for that. Patrick Laine has all.
Wish he played every game against Dallas.
I was
going to
say Patrick Laine is.
They didn't hear that.
It's Lethbridge to him for you in terms of the way that it works. But Dallas and Winnipeg will get kicked off shortly in terms of having that set up as well. I honestly don't think there's going to be. I think the Jets are going to. I mean, if Dallas plays the way they did the same way they played in here in Winnipeg, I think that's going to be not so good for Dallas, obviously. I mean, the Jets have been playing well despite the number of injuries that they had.
Yeah, it's crazy. They just seem to keep losing all the luck that they could ever have and still keep winning games somehow, but the amount of defense that keep going down with what they already had to begin with.
Well, I mean, the Jets just picked up, I mean, in terms of looking for players,
yeah.
Just picked up Nick Shore from the Leafs in terms of finding a guy who was on waivers that I don't think the Leafs really wanted to give up on Nick Shore, but because they're in such bad cap situation right
they
now,
had to, yeah.
They had to waive a couple of guys,
pickup.
And Nick Shore, yeah, Nick Shore,
we've
no
been doing
complaints.
Good with guys on waivers, but...
Well, Spisa, Lucas Spisa, yeah, it's been all right, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, Shore has 2 goals, 1 assist, 21 games for the Leafs this season. But again, he's played in a number of different situations. Kings, Ottawa Senators, Calgary Flames as well in terms of where he's gone. But I mean, I like the idea of adding Nick Shore to this team. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, come in and blow the doors off, you know, the scoring. But Nick Shore is a serviceable forward. He can certainly give us a good hand in terms of, you know, maybe clearing up a few injuries that we have in terms of everything that's happening there. But I mean, again, you look at the success this team has had, and I don't want to draw this to an Alberta thing because I know you're going to get mad for me mentioning Alberta, but breaking up your best offensive players sometimes works out best for everyone.
Yeah, well, and seeing how well Blake Wheeler's done on center, they're saying that he'll probably stay there long-term now, too. So.
Well, and they split up, and again, I don't want to, this isn't to drag you guys into it, but they split up Poznikov and McDougal the weekend that you guys visited, and I mean, they seem to play pretty well away from each other, so driving those two lines, they did really well last weekend again against UBC. I think this breakup of Scheifele and Wheeler should have come a long time ago, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, though, the fact that it's happening now and the Jets are doing well,
good timing.
No complaints at all. So the one thing I think that I want to see, and I mentioned this, I had written this on my blog the other day, and certainly you can comment on it because you deal with it every day. Do you think the NHL should go to three-point games?
I mean, I like it. I think, I don't know.
So the math, if you're looking at the math, and I'll break it down because it's as of yesterday. Not much change in terms of what happened. Boston's still in top in the East, Washington second. But where things change is that Florida, for example, Florida, who only has 8 regulation wins with that 39 point, they would drop out of a playoff spot.
Just because, yeah.
Because
they would
the
lose
Rangers
it.
Would move up because they have way more regulation wins than everybody else above them.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay would then flip with Montreal. Toronto would flip as well. Florida would essentially drop from 7th to 12th in the conference. Just because they don't win in regulation very often.
Right.
Which would make a huge difference. Same thing would happen over in the West where, again, Calgary would drop out of, I mean, they're not in a playoff spot, but would drop out of 11th spot and all the way down to 13th spot because, again, they just don't win in regulation. They only have 7 regulation wins so far.
Yeah.
And I go, the regulation wins now mean more and actually count for more when you come to the tie-breaking situation than if you just had them as regulation wins and two-point wins because at that point, you're kind of taking the power away from winning in 60 minutes and just saying go out there and win. If you win, winning is important. But I think winning in 60 minutes, like you guys do, should mean more.
More, yeah.
But,
It would be interesting. I like having, 3 points to be had, and then you have to split it up depending if you go into overtime, right?
Well, yeah. And, I mean, it's a little different because, 82 games versus a 28-game situation. I mean, everything could change in a heartbeat sort of thing with you know, a team getting on a hot streak and certainly going crazy in terms of 3 or 4 wins in a row, but I just think that the 3-point win now means that much more based upon the way that teams play the game at the NHL level anyway, because if guys can sort of get to that last 5 minutes of the third period and we're tied, well, let's not make a mistake, let's just take the point, exactly. So I think it means more if you can go and grab that 3 points, because then you're grabbing not just one extra point, you're grabbing basically the whole 3 points at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for you guys, I think it works out well. I wish the men would go to that as well in Canada West. It makes way more sense that way, but I'm not one of the powers that be, so I can't make that decision, but to me, it makes sense if they're going to do that. I mean, for you guys, seems like everything's pretty even keel. Would you want to see any rules change for the way you guys play?
I think it's been quite well. The only hard thing is just such a gray area with body contact. But it's hard to say, right?
Did you notice a difference? And I'll ask you this because body contact is one of the reasons I'm going to ask. Did you notice a difference between the way that the game was called on Friday for you guys and the game was called on Saturday? Because we thought the stick checks on Friday were completely ignored.
Yeah.
Whereas on Saturday, it seemed like every little stick check, like if it got up into the midsection or around the hands, it was called on
everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you notice that there's that much disparity in other cities when you guys go play on the road, for example, between two different
officials? Notice it as much, yeah, from day to day, like when you're on the road from Friday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty much the same, but we have weird refs. Like, compared to any other city, like, we're always like, I think we get, yeah, I don't know, but it is tough. Like, I can imagine, like, you want to try and play hard, and I know there's been some times where especially the younger players have taken a penalty for a body checking, and then they kind of let up a bit after because they don't want to take that penalty. But we want to have that battle-hard mentality. So it's really tough. And I'm sure it's tough as a ref, too, because it's like I said, it's a gray area. What do you consider? Like, at what point is it just good hockey, or is it too much, right? So I don't know if there's much that they can do or if they can just normalize certain things.
Like, there was a couple plays on the weekend, on Friday, that we saw that we were just like, that's egregious. How do you let that go?
Yeah.
Like, where players were using their sticks to basically slingshot themselves ahead of you guys as you were going back into the defensive zone. And I'm not going to name names, but we saw one player do it repeatedly, and we're like, how is that not? It's either interference or it's hooking, one or the other.
Yeah.
Because you can't slow a player down, and you certainly can't use your stick to slow them down.
Yeah.
But none of it was called. And then on Saturday, a couple of those plays happened, and boom, immediately the arm went up. And I'm just going, there can't be this kind of disparity in the officiating in Manitoba where two officiating crews call the game entirely different.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there was someone who told them to change it up or
maybe
someone was watching the game or what, but it is tough because you don't know, right? You don't know what to expect when you're going in.
See, that would be the hardest thing for me. I would always be, because if you're used to playing the way you played on Friday night, where there is a little bit more physicality, it's tough going in the next day and not knowing exactly what's a penalty and what's not when you see the arm going up so fast.
You never know.
So,
yeah. You want to play hard, but sometimes you get paid for it. But I don't know. Robert Ortiz and I grew up together. We're good friends, and you didn't seem to want to help us out on Friday.
Well, so. I mean, you guys did enough to help yourself, though. That was the good part. But
We've been pretty good this year. Like, once we said it, not so much, but we had started off the year averaging less than two penalties a game.
Well, even so, I mean, and we'll talk about that. I mean, we only got a couple minutes left in the show here, but your penalty kill has been ridiculously good
Ben
this
Lahovey.
Year. You know what? I said, like, we were talking, Kylie and I talk about it as well. Get possession, get it down the ice. Don't care where it goes. Don't care how you get it down the ice. Just get it down the ice. It is super effective at not only wearing out power plays, obviously killing off power plays, but like, you guys seem to be, to come out of them, building momentum now, which is different than what we see with other teams where they're just like, okay, get it down the ice, get off the ice, and get the offensive players back out. You guys have, like, three units that legitimately roll through and build momentum coming out of that penalty kill because you have so much confidence in it, which is awesome.
Yeah,
so,
I think it's about 91%, like that. So.
And that's what I said to Kylie, like, was it ever this high? Like, you guys had a pretty good penalty kill when you guys played. Was it ever this high? He's just like, I don't ever remember it being above 90%. And I'm like, exactly. This is awesome. So
yeah, it's been fun.
Well, I mean, like I said, I wish you guys nothing but the best going into the second half of the season. I don't think I'll get to talk to you over the holidays. Obviously, good time with family and doing all that stuff or whatever. Make sure you guys have a happy holidays with your parents. I mean, see them enough at the games. And certainly,
I see them enough, but
I mean, that's understandable. But
for the girls who are going home, it'll be fun.
Yeah,
for the
girls that get a chance to take a break and go see their family, that'll be awesome in terms of getting that stuff going. Anything you want to say before we get out of here for the first hour anyway, Jordy? Because we'll be back coming up in a few minutes to get everything going. But anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
You're good?
Yeah.
All right. With that, folks, we are out of here for another week. Stay tuned. Skippy's back in the studio. He's got himself a full setup in terms of another free range radio show ready to go. We are going to get out of here tonight. Again, a good song that we started off with. Niall Horan's Nice to Meet You. again, if you're coming out tomorrow, folks, get out to the Sportsplex, get out to Seven Oaks Sportsplex, bring a little cash with you, bring a donation. You can meet some of the pro players. A lot of good stuff going on. Hockey Helps the Homeless in town all weekend as we get set for another great, great weekend of charity hockey here in the city. With that, we are out of here for another week, folks. Take care. We will see you next Thursday on The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM.
I like the way you talk, I like the things you wear, I want your number tattooed on my arm in ink, I swear, 'cause when